I often tell people, I say, you know, I don't know what about your guardian angels, but I give him a lot of hard time to just, you know, keep me on the right track. So let's approach the throne of God again and ask God to bless us with His Word. Father God, thank You so much again for Your love, for Your eternal life, for Your righteousness. Thank You for Your sovereignty that we can depend on. We can rely on completely, like when we buy a reclining chair and don't care how much we weigh, but we just crash on that chair because we know that chair can hold us. My prayer, we every day depend on the sovereignty and the sovereign hand that You are the King. And You have nothing prepared spoil for us but every good thing. So Father, bless our time together as we dig into Your servant. Malachi, a long ago, wrote the message, not only for the past, for the present, and for the future. And give us wisdom, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Book of Malachi, Lord's Angel. Wow, powerful. He just a wonderful, wonderful man of God. And I was just talking to Brother Bob. It is like before they were entering into the children of Israel, entering into the promised land, God says, Shema Israel, listen. And Moses is telling everything, what to do, what do not to do, and what God has prepared and what God has not given to you. So he's giving them a message. And the same thing, like Malachi is like representing as an ambassador, like Moses, giving them the word of God again, saying, you have forgotten. He just reminding them the story through Esau and Jacob, reminding them, you know, how he have done with or dealt with Esau, the Edomites. How he powerfully portrayed his faithfulness when he took his kingdom, when took everything to show them they are still living in the wilderness without no hope. And here I'm a God who's using all Gentile gods, all Gentiles, God's follower of their own image and imagination and the pagan God, using for the children of Israel to rebuild the temple, to make a place of worship as a remembrance for all the nation that, hey, I'm a sovereign God, I can use anyone. Like somebody was saying, I don't know what to vote and who to vote, I'm just going to waste my vote. I said, that's your thinking. This is my first time voting, and I'm going to vote. And if God can use Balaam's donkey, he can use Donald Trump too, if he want to. If he can do that, why am I questioning the sovereignty of God? We often study, we know big words, sovereignty, omnipotence, and omission, and omnipresent. But most of the time we forgot, just like these people in the time of Malachi. So chapter 2, the forgotten responsibility of priest. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 9, when we look up, here God is saying, and now this commandment is for you. O priest, Kohen, the Hebrew word Kohen, the person who performed, the person who take the word of God from his altar, his message to communicate to others. It's like saying, my representative, listen. My ambassadors, listen. So the priest, if you do not listen, again, Shema, that's the word is used over 4,000 times just in Old Testament. Shema, Listen, Shema Israel. Over and over, I think that is a great application in New Testament. If anyone have ears to hear, what is the Spirit of God is saying to the churches? The seven churches, God is speaking through angel. Malachi is the angel. The seven churches, pastor are the angels, and we are angels and priests. Angel, I'm not talking about you have wings. I'm talking about in the sense represented or the person who present the message. So he's saying to the priest, if you do not listen and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name. Name, it's just a wonderful. Name have not only identification, it's have also character attached. God is saying, remember my name. Remember when Moses killed Egyptian police inspector or whatever, overseer of the one that was beating at them. And he killed him and walked away. And then 40 years later, God saying, take off your sandals. Come on, Moses. And he said, who are you? And he said, I am. That's another wonderful title of God. I am the I am. I am the God of your fathers. So God saying to the priest, honor my name, says the Lord of hosts. God is not speaking here saying, you know, I am the God of, you know, your banner. I'm a God of, you know, your Rah-ah. I'm not speaking as a shepherd. I'm speaking as a God of armies. The God who destroy, the God who can make a way, and then saying, watch. It's just like, watch me whip all the Egyptians. That's a good biblical song. Watch me whip all the Babylonians. Watch me, watch me, watch me. That's what God is just repeating. Saying, O priest, listen, honor my name, says the Lord of hosts. There's so many applications in this just name, host, the God of armies, the Lord of armies. In a simple way, you can say, hey, my God can whip Egyptians. My God can whip the Babylonians. My God can do amazing things. He can take the Jericho walls in just one blow and say, watch me, watch me, watch me whip. So, that's a God sense of humor. I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing, and indeed, I have cursed them already because you are not taking it to heart. That's another wonderful essence of God, omnipotence. He's a powerful. He can take something full of, you know, curse and turn into a blessing. And that's what He have done with us. We were worthless. We were hopeless. We had no confidence. We had no life. We have no compass for our soul. He gave us a sense of direction and saying, watch me, I am omnipotent. I can take your curseful life to make a blessing. I can take your miserable life to make a meaningful life. So that's another essence of God in that. So first nine verses, God is disciplining the priest of his time. So that was the chapter 2 to verse 1 and first nine verses. Now I want to talk a little bit with my outlines. Chapter 2 verse 10 to 12 and 13 to 16. Let's see what happened in this episode. Let's see what happened. So the spiritual condition and the pollution of people of Israel. Their condition and their spiritual life is polluted. And you can be identified. I often identify that not long ago. I had some chicken nuggets. And I was eating, and the minute I eat and I can feel they are not sitting in my system well. And I said, you know, my system is polluted with the poison. That was the condition of the children of Israel in that time. The spiritual condition was polluted because people have committed idolatry by mixed marriages against the Lord of hosts. Chapter 2, verse 10 to 12, he's rebuking them. He's saying, this is what you have done. Do we not have all a one Father? Has not one God created us? Two questions. God is saying through Malachi, do we not have one Father? Because if you are two or three, four fathers, then you are not really a legitimate children. So he's saying, remember, do we not have a Father? Do we not have a God who created us? Why do we deal treacherously? That's a big word. Treacherously each against his brother so as to profane the covenant of our Father. So here's he talking. He said, you know, the people of Israel that time, they have committed idolatry by mixed marriages and then insulting the name of host, the Lord of hosts. And he's saying, you are doing that. And Judah has dealt treacherously and abortionously. Okay, forgive me for that big word. Evil have committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has performed the sanctuary of the Lord which he loved and has married the daughter of the foreign god. This, they are going after the color, they are going after the height, they are going after the tongue, they speak and the design and all kind of things. And that's another thing Paul said in the New Testament. Do not be, you know, yoked with the unyokely with the unbelievers. Sometimes work. There was a family asking me, they said, you know, our daughter is in love with a guy, he's a Muslim, and she is want to change him. Change him and make him to become a Christian. I said, good luck. I hope you will not be influenced by him, because the minute you get married, you are under his dominions. And he have all authority. Either you live under his roof or you out of his roof. So we need to be careful, and that's what they're doing. They're saying, oh, prosperity, let's marry to the local people that already been prosperous. And they are doing that, and they are going against God by doing idolatry against God by mixed marriages. So that's going on in this episode. And God tell them, your spiritual condition is polluted by the poison of Gentiles. You know, you're taking God's covenant and then ruining it. And then verse 13 to 16, people lived self-centered life by practicing divorce among them. Self-centered life. They are just self-seeking, self-absorbing. They are like a SpongeBob. They are just, you know, full of themselves. All the garbage they are seeing out there, and they want to do the same thing. And in this passage, Malachi 2, 10 to 12, you can see the essence of God called veracity. Veracity. They are not true to their wives. They have taken God covenant. They are taken the oath before God saying, you know, she is mine and I am his. And now they have gone by mixed marriages. And that's what's going on in USA today. A lot of people have forgotten. A couple of pastors been abused and accused, and they have lost their license because they don't want to marry Adam and Steve. I was saying it's a matter Adam and Eve. They said, no, sir, now it's Adam and Steve. Man marrying. Man, it's just crazy. They have lost the compass, the understanding. And that's why God's saying, As for the man who does this, may the Lord cut off from the tent of Jacob everyone who awakens and answers, or who present an offering to the Lord of hosts. Simply, I'm veracity. I am a God who's absolutely true. And he's giving example. I haven't forsaken you. I haven't forsaken you. I love you unconditionally. Another picture, book of Hosea. Prophet Hosea mean savior, mean redeemer, mean salvation. Go and marry to Gomer. Go, she is adulterous, and even pay money for her. And that is a picture of God's veracity, that he is a true and perfect gentleman and loving God. They were not true to God, but he is true to them. And he's saying, I'm showing them I'm true to you, but you are not true to your own spouse. And you are going after Gentiles and a godless nation. So this is going on in this episode. And then people who's been conditionally, spiritually blind and polluted, the fourth thing going on in their life, the people of Israel slandering, mocking the character of God. Verse chapter 2, verse 17, when we look that up, and he says, you know, when you have worried the Lord with your words, yet you say how we have worried him. Again, same story. You were wrong, but how? Okay, I'm glad you asked. God said, I will tell you, in that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and delight in them, or where is the God of justice? God is saying to them, you are slandering, you are mocking my character by making these statements, saying, you know, you can do evil. Like Isaiah chapter, I think 5 verse 20, he says, you know, there will be a time, we are living in this time, you know, evil is good and good is evil. You take words that is just horrible and dreadful, and consider it's like a honey from a Lebanon. It's just everything opposite. So here they are maligning and slandering the character of God when he said, anybody do evil, you say it's good. So here's an essence of God called justice. Justice simply means God is absolutely just. It is impossible for him to do any unfair thing or any spiritually dead, polluted thing to expect from his people. So he said, you are doing that. People are coming to my, woman is coming to my altar and saying, where is the God of justice? Where is the God of justice? So that was the chapter 2. Chapter 2. We can learn a lot. Like, each name mentioned in the Bible have a significant meanings and purpose. When we go to Solomon and say, Solomon, teach us. And his meaning is shalom. I will teach you peace. If you abide in God, you will have a peace. And if you not abide in God, you will write a lamentation. You will write your own Ecclesiastes saying, vanity, vanity, vanity. I have been whipped by the Almighty God, vanity, vanity, vanity. Everything is meaningless under the sun, and the God gave him a name called peace, shalom, and he have a no peace after marrying so many women. You know? One is enough. He should ask me, I will tell him, hey, wisest man, one is enough. So, Suleiman, shalom, peace. He says this in a perfect way. 2 Chronicles 7:14, he said, "If my people who are called by name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked way, evil way, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." It's absolutely a prayer of Solomon for the temple that was just, you know, just rebuilt, or a new temple. But we can take that because we can see ourselves. We are people most of the time not humble, arrogant. We are not people to seek to talk to God. When we fall into sin, we walk away from God. I think that pattern we learned from our great father called Adam. The minute he saw he's naked, the minute he saw his cowboy thing is gone, he's going to the bush, he's saying, "Nobody sees me." And that is the most of time our attitude. When we are fall, instead going to be on our fall face and on knee and saying, "Lord, help and mercy," we run away. So Solomon can teach us about the peace, because once he lived in that peace, and then when he was not living, he said, "Vanity." Ezra can teach us a lot. Ezra means help. We need all the help. It means help. And he's teaching a wonderful lesson. A wonderful priest, a wonderful scribe, and skills in the law of Moses. A man, I can say there's a lot of great teachers like a Paul, like a Moses. But for him, it's just a wonderful, already knowing that I have a TTHD, PPHD, and he said, "I have nothing," when he made these statements. Ezra 7 verse 10 says, "For Ezra has set his heart to study, to become a student, to become a learner, to become a one who take instruction." So he learned, he said, "I need to study the law of the Lord." And the second thing, it's not going to do anything with me if I don't put into practice. And he said, he set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it, and to teach his statute and the ordinance in Israel. We need to take three lessons from him. We need to learn. We need to learn from him. We need to live like he lived. We need to learn, live, and lead. We need to mostly learn to sit down and to walk and stand up in the face of enemy when he's saying, "You are nothing." So we can sing a song. Angels had a song. Isaiah chapter 6 says, you know, "Holy, holy, holy, Almighty God." Elizabeth, she had a song. "My Savior, you know, mother have come to my home." Then Mary had a song. She said, you know, "God have blessed me among the women that the Savior born through me." Another Mary, that the sister of Moses, she had a song. Moses have his song. Hannah have his song, her song. We can sing a song. Satan, "I'm too blessed to be depressed, too anointed to be disappointed, too sanctified to be horrified. By faith alone in Christ alone, no, you cannot hunt us down. By God's power alone, we will bring so many home. Watch our God whip you." You can add whatever you want. So Ezra means help. We need all the help. And Nehemiah. Nehemiah, in the time that was ruins, the time of tribulation, the time of there's a no peace, priest has been dragged out, the people has been gone, the temple is empty, the city has ruined, the gate is burned, the wall is down, there's a no security, there's nothing left. And here's the Nehemiah come on the scene, which mean, his mean is the Lord's comfort. And God sent just, you know, perfect timingly when there's a no comfort. He said, "I got the comfort. Just listen." And that's why Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 1, 4 to 11, when we see him praying. We need to pray that for United States of America. I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who preserve the covenant and the loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Yet your ears now be attention and your eyes upon your eyes to be eyes open to hear my prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you. We need to gain that comfort from Nehemiah. Most of the time we are just, so fearful. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we are called holy priest. We are called people out of darkness. We need to gain that perspective and confidence. And that's what Malachi, the angel of the Lord, is doing to these people. He's drilling what they have forgotten. Jesus said, if any man have, the whole world and he lost his soul, I put it this way. If we have everything and we don't have the confidence and the security in God, life is going to be meaningless. And that's what's going on. They have lost their confidence. They have lost their hope, and he's bringing everything back. So they are slandering God's name. So Nehemiah giving the confidence. Malachi mean angel. And he's saying, I have a message for you. Let's see the last part. So the first part was the unconditional love of God for the nation of Israel. The second part, the forgotten responsibility of priest. The third part, the condition, the spiritual condition and a polluted lifestyle of the people of Israel. And the fourth one, here we go. The accountability of people, priest of Israel. Chapter 3 and 4 is talk about accountability. The first thing, this is a wonderful message. And God is speaking here, another essence. So I'm not going to go through that, but this is a beautiful part. I got some time. Behold, I'm going to send my messenger. That's a reference. Sometimes it's just, the divine beauty of God's word. One passage and many, many messages. That's a divine beauty of God's word. In this one passage, there's two messengers. The first one talking about the John the Baptizer, saying, behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And suddenly, quickly, he just in the same sentence used the word, and. That's the purposefully or the purpose clause they use in a Hebrew term, that there's a meaning. The meaning or the purpose, the word they're using, and. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. So in that one passage, there is a talking about the John the Baptizer, and then talking about Jesus Christ coming, and that is a wonderful way that, Malachi, through the Spirit of God, put it. But I want to focus on, in a few minutes, verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. Here is the accountability of people. God saying, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Immunability. If God was like, a cook in a smokehouse, and we say you didn't make a good food, he will spice up more and he will change his mind. He will say, they just, ruined my credit. My credibility. But here God says, I'm unchangeable. I'm immutability. I'm the one who never change. We are the always the one who change. That's another beautiful essence of God in that. God is communicating to them saying, just listen. If I was have changed, if I have, you know, changed my mind about you, you will not be existing. You will be dead. There will be no record of any of your, but he said, in other words, I remember my covenant. That's the beauty of God, that he's not a man that changed his mind. He's not a man that he can lie. Whatever he say, it is. And that's the beautiful thing in Christianity. In Christianity. And one day we are going to be accountable. God will say, you were so privileged by me and blessed on this earth. And you were privileged. You were blessed. And now, what you have done with all your responsibility. Like Gene put it this way, privilege bring responsibility. Responsibility bring accountability. And now God is saying, I want you to ask. You've been asking me. It's my time to ask you. If I was changed, you'll not be even here. Okay, and the other passage. Yeah. Verse 13, chapter 3, verse 13, another essence of God. Your word has been arrogant against me, says the Lord. Says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? God said, okay, I'm glad you ask. 14, verse 14. You have said it is vain or weightless or vanity to serve God. And what profit is it that if we kept his charge or commandments, that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts? Simply, they are again talking about the character of God, saying, you're not great. They are so arrogant, they have forgotten the omnipotence of God, that he knows everything. He knows before they think. And they're saying, who are you? They're questioning and he's talking, and the last one, that's wonderful. Chapter 3, verse 16. Over 120 years, Noah was speaking the message of God, the righteousness of God. That's the upcoming conference in Pennsylvania, Gospel According to Noah. He was preaching the gospel, and no one heard. Everybody heard, and nobody responded. Here, Malachi is speaking the message of God, telling them their present, telling them the future, and verse 16 said, then those who fear the Lord spoken to one another, fear, honor, or reverent God, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and the book, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and those esteem his name. Esteem his name. That's the last part of omnipresent. Omnipresent. God is everywhere. They are fearing God, and he said, I watch you, I hear you, and then I record. That's why everything we do is matter. And often people ask me, what citizen you have? I tell them, I born in Pakistan, that was my past citizenship. I become American citizen, that is my current citizenship. And that is a temporary. But I have eternal citizenship. They said, where is that? In heaven. So God is teaching us, as Doug was just putting in a simple term. So many times, we are living in this world, but we are not thinking about our eternal citizenship. It's just like that. God delivered us from the power of sin. Immediately, the minute we say, God, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, boom, the righteousness of God is imputed. The holiness of God is just given. The love of God is available. The wisdom of God is just flooded and before us to do everything we needed. The support of the Holy Spirit is just like a sweet aroma and smell that is just, you know, leading us saying, don't go right, don't go right, don't go wrong. Everything is available in a matter of second the minute we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But takes whole life. Take for Jesus a second to redeem us from the power of sin, but takes decades to teach us how to overcome the sin nature that is in us. To become a master, not to be slaves to our sin nature. Just like that. It's easy for God to take us out of world, but it will take centuries to take a world out of us and the American life and the American taste and buzz and every kind of things. Recently I caught myself, I said, I become American, but am I become really Americanized? Am I forgetting my devotion and my dedication and my calling? Am I becoming Egyptian? Like when they were in Egypt, they become like them. When they were in Babylon under the supervision of Nebuchadnezzar, only three stood. That's what Bible gave us an account. The whole generation bowed before the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. So I hope, that's my prayer, that I will not forget the God of omnipresent is everywhere and He's watching over. So these are four things. God is taking account, God is reading, God is watching, and He's so happy that we are here. Or say, it's just, you know, a blessing for the Lord Jesus Christ to watch a remnant of a believer. Instead of becoming a couch potato, we become, you know, those who fear the Lord and the book of remembrance are written. So, accountability is important. So I want to leave with this passage and I will leave you alone. Philippians chapter 2, I believe. Yeah, Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 12 to 18. There's so many things, but I just want to finish that. And we need to focus on the Redeemer and the confidence and the anchor of our soul. And if we depend on Him, no matter what kind of a flood, tsunami, or things going on around us, He will hold our boat. And if we just, you know, saying, okay, Lord, You are in the boat, but I'm not trusting in You, your boat will be rocked. And maybe you will go in the water and say, blah, 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 Jesus help, Jesus help. Then He will say, okay, I'm glad You ask. Jesus, are You not worried about us for dying in this storm? I'm glad You ask. That's a good way to put a new Bible commentary. Facile Human Bible Commentary. Verse 12. Paul talking to the beloveds. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my present only, but now much more in my absent, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He's not talking about to secure your salvation. He's just talking about a simple way. You are husband of wife, and you are not loving her because it's a chore. You are loving her because it's a commitment that you take before Almighty God. So working out of our salvation is sharing the salvation that we are free, and we can let anybody else know that how can you be free? By believing in Jesus Christ. Verse 13, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to the work for His good pleasure. Sovereign God can do that. We need to just even take simply the essence of God. Some counts 10, some counts 12, some counts 21. Whatever you find, the beauty and the essence and the character of God as fit and speak to you. Take that and say, okay, Lord, I'm taking as my personal for my spiritual journey, and even when I walk through the valley of doubts and shadows and all kind of hustles, I will depend on you. I will depend on you. Verse 14, do all things without grumbling and disputing. The book of Malachi. What you have done for us? Everything. Grumbling. How you have done? Okay. This way, but still not listening. That's a wonderful. All things without grumbling and disputing and mumbo jumbo. That's not there, I just added. So that you will prove your salvation, yourself. You will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent, children of God above approach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as a light in the world. God is saying to Malachi people, you are my children. I'm your father. I'm your Abba. Be, you know, in them, in a crooked and the evil generation, show them that you are light. You are light. The light of the world. Appear the light of the world. And verse 16, hold fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I will have a reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. Malachi saying, I will have reason to share glory face to face with Lord, because I'm communicating to you. I can be a ground tiller, I can be a chair maker, I can be anything else, but this is the oracle, the word of the Lord is given to me for you. So you can have your confidence again. You can have not your false security, sense of security that is a false and there's a no hope. I can give it to you because I'm God. 2 minutes left. Verse 17, but even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and the service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with y'all. You all y'all this way. That's a wonderful, like, you know, he's a great leader, Malachi. He's not a temperature reader. He is a thermostat that can change the temperatures. He's trying everything in the power of God to change them. He's not giving them a warning. He's telling them how to get out of warning. He's like a smoke alarm in the house. Bing, 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 bing. Honey, what happened? I'm cooking bacon. Really? No, your couch is on fire. Smoke alarm saying get out. I'm smelling bacon. No, your couch was on fire. And that's what is like a beacon of light or smoking alarm to the nation of Israel, saying, realigning with God way, and it will change your life way. Otherwise, it will be not good. Verse 18, and then we will go. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. Paul is telling us, his joy for him, for us to find the comfort and peace and hope and share the message. And if we want to bless somebody else, we need to share the message with somebody else. So that's all I got. I hope it's a spicy. I hope it's a got jalapeno, habanero, whatever taste you like. And God bless. And I'm looking forward to hear from other men that God has prepared. God bless and Godspeed. And please continue to pray for America. Your prayer is being recorded. Everything is being recorded. God don't have a 160 gigabytes. He have a trillion million gigabytes that he will not lose a record. Hillary can lose his emails, her emails. God's record never lost. He kept everything in the book of remembrance. God bless and continue to pray for America.
The Holy Ghost pepper.
Yeah, Holy Ghost pepper.
All right, since Fassel pretty much covered it all, we're just going to call the weekend.